California. Now, I'm not on a downer. I'm on an upper. But I am obeying God this morning. And for some reason, I mean, this type of thing has happened before, and it happens from time to time. But there was a pastor in California, Chino, California, relatively young pastor, three relatively young children, pastor of a church. I knew nothing about the situation. I'm not an expert on what I'm trying to say. All I'm saying was, it was a pastor that was alive until Saturday, and Saturday he checked out, took his own life on Saturday. And that church, I don't know anything about the church. I presume it's an evangelical church. But Father, we pray for that church this morning. Lord, I pray for the wife, the young wife that is left behind, the shocked people of that church. And I just ask you, Father, by your Holy Spirit, to touch them today. Do what only God can do. Let the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God and the grace of God surround that situation. We don't really know anything except the news media has gone viral with this all over the world for some reason, though it's happened before, and I've heard of many happenings over the years. Something about this has caught the imagination of so many. And Father, I pray that some way, somehow, you'll take this and turn it for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Praise be unto the Lord. I felt like God spoke to my heart and just wanted me to minister on some things. How do you handle personal crisis? You know, usually people that talk about taking their life don't do it. There's just something sensational that gets involved in that type of thing. It's usually those that don't say anything about it that it happens, and then everyone wonders why. However it happens, I believe God has a word. I'm just going to share some things. I haven't had a time to try to, I'm not trying to make a sermon out of it. I'm just trying to give you a message from God. Isaiah, the 50th chapter, verse 7. One of my life verses. For the Lord God will help me. Now write that down. You may need that before morning. For the Lord, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. I will not be confounded. Therefore I've set my face like a flint. You ever picked up a piece of flint from the railroad? Hard surface, probably one of the hardest rocks that I know anything about. I've set my face like a flint, and I know I shall not be ashamed. You can take one verse like that and come through anything. I know, I've proven that. I often say I was in a seminar one time and I heard the seven steps to burnout, but I just didn't know how to participate. I'd been in all, I recognized all seven sessions. But you know, you don't have to quit. You don't have to let the devil get the upper hand. You don't have to roll over and play dead when the pressure's on. We're the comeback people. We're winners in Christ Jesus. Amen. But how do you handle personal stress? How do you handle personal crisis? How do you handle it? That's a very probing question. Psalm 61 said, when my heart is overwhelmed. And we've all been there. Some more, some less. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter and a strong tower. I want to go over to Hebrews. Take just a moment. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Another portion of God's Word that has just been a life verse for me. Helped me, strengthened me, brought me through so many things. The fourth chapter of Hebrews, and reading at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, his name is Jesus. Do you have him? Does he have you? Is he your Savior? And is he your Lord? Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. You could literally say, let us hold fast our confession of faith. Hold fast. Don't let it slip for a day. Don't let it slip for an hour. Don't let it slip for a week or a month. I've seen casualties even over the past few months of people that got careless about their walk with God. Listen, Satan's waiting to knock your head off if he could. There's not one of us that he respects, and especially a church that's giving him fits. We got a target on both sides. Whenever you're an outreach church and you have a Christian school, it's an interesting life. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points, say it with me, in all points, tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. In the time of need, we have a great high priest. Devil's biggest lie is to say no one's ever experienced what you're going through. No one's ever had to battle what you're trying to come through and face. Jesus faced it all. On the cross of Calvary, there is not one thing that one individual that has ever drawn air on this earth has ever faced that Jesus did not go through. How can it be? That's what killed him on the cross. He drank the cup of the sewer of the world. Every temptation, every craziness, every lie, every deception, every rejection, every broken heart, every shattered life, every shattered dream, he went through it on the cross for you. Not just to save us from our sins, but to help us in everyday life, to face the impossible, to face what others don't know what to do with. Over in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, let's go back over. I want to read something for you. Amen. 5th chapter, let's see, it's verse 5 through 9. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. You know, we need one another. I want to say that again. We need one another. Submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. That's not in a weird way. That means that we care for one another. We love one another. We help one another in every way we possibly can. And be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I'm talking about verses that will hold you in the midst of ultimate stress, ultimate perplexity. When Lot walked out of Abraham's life, God walked in. It's not who walks out of your life, it's who you have in your life. Oh, I want to say that again. It's not who walked out of your life, it's what you have in your life. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while. You going through something? It's just a little while. Hold on. Hold steady. It's temporary. Stamp temporary on it. Amen. After you've suffered a while, we'll make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You know what that means? It means you're a strong sheet of plywood. A plywood is literally stronger than just a piece of wood because it's layers glued together. And if it's done properly, it has great strength. It's amazing all the miracle building products they've come up with over the last few years. And you know that everything that's happened to you is just putting another coat of Holy Ghost glue? Just putting another coat of Holy Ghost glue on you, pressing us in to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? You're coming out of this thing stronger than garlic. Stronger than 40 acres of Texas garlic, that is. Amen. Oh, this is going to kill me. Keep talking like that and it will. You're doing your own obituary right there. But if you just listen to me, everything we go through, if we hold steady in our faith, we only come out on the other side stronger than we were before. I can't express to you what I feel in my heart right now. God's trying to talk to some folks this morning. If that young minister, you say, well, he didn't know psychology or he knew too much. Let me tell you something. I know there are things we don't know. There's a lot that I don't know, and there's a lot about everything that happens that we don't know. So I'm not trying to be a specialist. I'm simply saying that it's never God's will. It's never God's plan for you to take your life. I'm not judging. Please listen to me. I'm not judging. But I'm telling you, God's in the life business. And we may be a little bit in a rough weather situation, but God's going to see you through if you'll just trust him. Amen. It's like years ago when I first started flying, I had a secret desire. I wished I had a parachute. My first few flights, I was a chicken. I'm telling you, I wished I could have, I don't know how I would have gotten out of the plane or how you could have used it, but I thought, boy, this would be better if we just had a parachute, you know. Now I just lay back and go to sleep and let the pilot take care of it. Doesn't worry me. Someone said, how do you fly over the water 16 hours? Faith in God, that's how you do it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise be unto God. But what I'm telling you, those early days of flying, I remember we were going through some rough weather. Oh, it was rough. They used to try to fly through it. They'd fly around it today or fly above it with these jets and so on. But I'll never forget the flight attendant came through the cabin. She said, everybody got your seatbelts buckled. She said, pull them down tight. So we're getting ready to go through some rough weather. And after a while, that plane began to pitch. And there were people, I think, that got saved on that flight. And she came back through holding the position. She said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I know it's rough now, but we're going for higher ground. We're going to fly above this." And that man up front has several stripes on his arm. He's been through many storms. He's one of our best pilots. Just hold on, ladies and gentlemen. We're going for higher heights. We're coming through this thing. Woo! I'll tell you, that's preached to me many a time. The weather may be rough and it may be a little tough right now, but if you're just batting down the hatches, you'll come through. Hallelujah. And I thought about this message. I don't know. Don't know anything about it, but I'm just saying, whoever it might be, here's some things that God woke me up early this morning. I just wrote them down. I haven't had time to fine-tune any of it. Don't let your weaknesses ruin your life. Don't let your weaknesses rule your life. Whatever you're battling, don't let it ruin your life. Don't let a spirit of criticism ruin your life. Don't let a spirit of offense ruin your life. And even in the natural, even if there's prescription drug abuse, get some help. First of all, the help of God. Or if it's street drugs, whatever you're battling, don't let it take you out. Don't let it get you down. There's an answer to every person in this room right now. Every person in this room, no matter what you're battling, God has the answer to your life. And that's why I love the full gospel. Meets the need of the full man, the full woman. Don't let your weaknesses rule your life or ruin your life. Another thing I just wrote as the Spirit of God gave it to me. Nothing is as bad as it seems right now. Nothing is as bad as it seems right now. You say, "Where'd you get that, Pastor?" Well, I got it from God, and I also got it from experience. I've flown through those storms by the help and grace of God. You say, "It couldn't get any worse." Oh, yeah. Yeah, it can. It can. It can. Thank God that things are as good as they are and they're getting better every day. Listen, I'm doing some pastoring this morning. I'm not trying to preach. I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm not trying to preach an eloquent sermon. God, don't let one person in this audience take the back door of life just because you're battling something. There's an answer. God loves you. God cares. God's grace is sufficient. There is a way out. There is a way through. There is an answer. God's strength will bring you through. Nothing is as bad as it seems at the time. So where do you go from there? Stand on and believe God's word above everything. When you're battling something, you don't need Time magazine. You don't need CNN. You don't need the craziness of the news of this world. Get your hands on the Word of God and get yourself a promise. And get a grip on it and don't let go. Stand believing God's Word. Stand on His Word. Stand on His Word. Told you this story before, but it's been a while and I want to hear it again myself. A man by the name of Arthur Locke, he was a very successful oil man in the city of Houston years ago, gave his testimony in Oral Roberts' Crusades and was greatly used of the Lord. But as an oil man, he became an alcoholic, or was an alcoholic, I don't know. And it got to the place to where he couldn't take care of business. And they called him the mayor of Capitol Avenue because he'd get drunk in his office and go out on Capitol Avenue and lead a parade, he thought. That's how out of it he was. They finally locked him up in the penitentiary just to get medical help because he was broke. He had nothing. The man had never heard anything about God. But he had a praying mother in Lodi, California. And that's when the milkman would bring milk out to the house. You know, there were four or five milk companies in that particular city at that time. And his mother said, "I'm old and I can't get around and I can't do what I used to do, but I can pray." And she'd pray for Arthur every day. Every day she'd pray for him. And then she'd get the milkman saved, leave him tracks in the bottles. And she said, "Now, I love your milk, and you're a wonderful young man, but I've got to get another milkman, get him saved." She got all the milkmen that delivered saved and born again. And here's Arthur, who's lived the life of a heathen, although he was wealthy at one time. In prison, not because he'd broken the law, he was an alcoholic, and I don't know how he got there, but they had him in the medical ward. Some little no-name lady, no name to man, but known to God, came into that prison with a little accordion, and she was singing in the hall, and she sang some songs like "Amazing Grace," "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior," and some other songs of invitation. And then he said, "I never could see her and don't remember what her name was, but the voice came down the hall, 'Now, if you'll only stand on the word of God, God will save you as we pray this prayer.'" Arthritis had his body so twisted, he was able to kick a Gideon Bible off of his bunk and wrestle himself to stand against the wall and stand with both feet on his Gideon Bible. And he prayed the sinner's prayer. And the chains of alcohol were broken. And arthritis was broken. And they released him, and he traveled across America over and over again, telling people that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, that Jesus is able. You can literally stand on the word of God. He did. Run to Jesus when the pressure's on, the stress is on. Don't run away from him. I mean, three times here in the last few days, someone said, "Well, so-and-so, they're just under it so much, they just hadn't been to church in a while, just under it so..." They don't know what under is. You run away from God, God's got a whale for you. He's got a whale of a deal for you, my friend. Or a big fish, whatever you want to call it, big fish or a whale. You can't run from God. Amen. Run to the Lord. Don't run away from him. Second, or third, or fourth, whatever it is, cry out to God. Pray, speak, cry out to God. Cry out to God. "Oh, God, help me." Pray a prayer from the depth of your heart. Get alone somewhere, and if you have to holler, holler. If you have to cry, cry. Do whatever you have to do, but call upon the name of the Lord. "Lord, I need some help. I need some help." And also remember that the Acts 1:8 power that is in you is greater than anything you face. There's more power in your little finger, if you just understood that, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Satan will make you feel like you have no power, no help, you know, nothing going for you. But thank God, the Holy Spirit of God is living in you. You can come through. Watch your words. Watch your words. You know, the biggest problem some people have, whatever they're going through, everybody around them knows about it. They tell their story to a fence post if the fence post doesn't move on them. Watch your words. Don't tell everybody what's going on. Amen. I have very few people I can really tell what's going on. Very few. Because I don't want anybody tampering with my faith. Amen. I don't want anyone tampering with my faith. That's what's going to bring me through it. You can whine, you can cry, you can groan, you can moan. But that's not going to change it. Only the power of God can change it. Amen. Watch your words. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew, the 4th chapter, verse 4. Hallelujah. Watch your words. Have lots of joy. You know, sometimes we just need to have some fun. Now, some of you are on a fun kick 24/7, but I'm... It's all right to enjoy life. It's all right to laugh. It's all right to smile. I remember when we had the big revival in 93. Said, you into that joy thing? I said, man, you know, I found out happy people are a lot easier to pastor than grouches. Those sad melodramatic folks that drive you nuts, man. Hallelujah. Just laugh and say, the devil said, what? You got to be kidding. He's crazy. He is. Amen. Have lots of joy. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Have some good, clean fun. Amen. Spend more time in praise and worship. Get off that country western kick. That girl that waits on tables used to wait on me at home. Throw that CD away. She done me wrong, song. Done me wrong. Hallelujah. Spend more time in praise and worship. Got a great frustration. These new cars are coming out. You can't play your CDs anymore. I think that must have come out of hell. I enjoy hearing Christian music and enjoy hearing the preaching of the Word of God or teaching of the Word of God. Spend more time in praise and worship than you do on your cell phone. Oh, I'll get run off for making this. We need to have a revival of deliverance from phones. See a family of five sitting around a table. They're all on a phone, and it's not to one another. I've had server after server tell me, you know, it's so amazing. Families come out to eat together, and they never talk. They're all on the phone. I mean, that's one time phones ought to go off when you eat. Turn them off. Have fellowship with one another. Praise God. Spend more time in praising God and reading your Bible. You spend half as much time reading the Bible as you do on your cell phone, you'd be a spiritual giant. Now, I've mixed a little humor with this, but you know, I think about it. Here's a young pastor. And now it leaves a bewildered congregation. And I mean, I'm not condemning anybody. This is not a message of condemnation. I'm just simply telling you, Satan does love you any more than he loves me. He hates the body of Christ. And we need to learn how to stand strong. We need to learn how to think strong, live strong, have good habits of prayer and praise and worship. I mean, it amazes me. I mean, there's people go 3 or 4 weeks, never go to church, never have a second thought about it. I mean, I was raised in a time, if they were out for a while, the tithe check would be coming through. At least, you know, the doors stay open and the work of God goes on. I'm just sort of on a kick this morning of it's time to put God first again. It's time to put God first again. It's time to honor Him and love Him. Seek you first the kingdom of God. Quit chasing things and let God get them for you and just love and serve God. Just keep the main thing the main thing and go forward. You say, well, that's not much of a sermon. I'm not trying to preach a sermon. I'm just trying to share some things from my heart today. My. And there's another side to these things and these times. We don't know what's going on in everyone's life. If I've learned one thing, I've learned it. You never know. A smile can hide a broken heart. A smile can hide disappointments and loss and things going crazy in their life. But it's never God's will. And I want to repeat this again. It's never God's will. And you know what's happening now? I don't have time to get into it. I could have Robbie finish this message this morning. Yeah, Robbie's been I thought he grew a cell phone on both ears at a certain time in his life. But do you know there are young people that are committing suicide? And it's associated to the things they're learning through the media? There are young people that can't even hold a conversation. Socially, they're zeros. They're off in a space zone somewhere. Hey, this is not science fiction. This is not science fiction. There are literally young people that are in epidemic now that are committing suicide who get sucked into all of these media things. And it really all comes back to one thing, but seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God's not hard to please. He just wants to be first. He just wants to be first in your life. And I just think of the agony that church is going through, the agony that wife is going through today, the agony. And there probably is someone here this morning that has had that experience in someone in your family. But I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help us. You say, I'm beyond that. You don't know what you're beyond when God's not first in your life. I mean, don't let yourself get lifted up in pride. Anyone's capable of anything that is not when Jesus is not the Lord of your life. Capable of anything personally. Capable of anything in their marriage. Capable of anything in business. People are doing, the world is crazy that is not living for God. I know I'm plowing this morning. I feel it. I feel the plow. And I've been in the middle of the glory, but I've come back to earth now. Amen. God's calling us. If there was ever a time we need to start singing again, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee. If there was ever an hour we need to put God back number one in our life, in everything we do, in everything we plan, in every direction that we take. And you know, Jesus went through everything that you could ever go through so that you don't have to go through it. And if you find yourself in a part of it, to know that you can come out of that and God can set you free. You know, I'll just make a personal confession. Last 5 years of my life, I'm just scratching surface of things that I faced the last 5 years of my life. Amen. I've just scratched the surface of things that I have faced. And it's the principles of faith that have kept me when all hell broke loose. It's the principles of faith going back to the days of the tornado when everything you've ever worked for is destroyed in seconds, 44 seconds. Amen. Disappointments beyond description. People that you loved and trusted and gave to and did everything you knew to make their life better and just turned right around with no care, no love, no concern whatsoever. And it's amazing how many people will believe a liar instead of the pastor they've known for so many years. It's amazing. One conversation can turn a person's faith off in a pastor that has given his life for the work of God and the ministry, and often in a family and a marriage and children and all those things. But you know what? Then there's people like you that are here this morning that believe God and you love God and you know the best is yet to come. And you know you don't have to think what Satan tries to load in your mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Satan's tried every way in the world to steal our Christian school. He's tried every way in the world to shut this church down. He's tried every way in the world to shut me down. But I tell you what, I'm still breathing. I'm still breathing. Hallelujah. Oh, all that matters, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. I think I'm more of a Jesus man today than I've ever been. And I believe in God that the best is yet to come. The Bible said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Be faithful unto death. Praise God. It's not how great you are and how famous you are and how this or that or whatever. If we sat in a room and listened to some of these coming back from the mission field and some of the things they've been through, have you ever had anybody put a gun in your belly and steal you everything you've got, steal your car, and you had to borrow money to ride a bus across to a country to get back home? Couldn't even get in your house except your little child could slip through the security bars and find the key. Have you ever been through that? I haven't. But you know, I heard some that had, and they were just full of joy, rejoicing in the Lord, thanking God for the privilege of suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ, thanking God for going through some tough stuff. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Hallelujah. My heart just went out. I thought, oh, I wished, if it could have been, I don't know. Maybe I couldn't have made a difference. Who knows? But if there was some way I could have made a difference in that young man's life. God's led me so many times to call ministers, and so many times to be where I shouldn't have been, in crazy situations, just to help people. Just to help people. But remember this. The Lord God will help me. If you believe that, it'll work. If you believe it, it'll work. The Lord God will help me. I said, the Lord God will help you. Hallelujah. He'll help your mind. He'll help your body. He'll help you in your difficulty. He'll see you through. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, I thank God for my mother. My father, I had a precious father and a precious mother, but when Dad was not able to practice law anymore and the medical bills ate up what they seemed to have saved up over the years, I still see Mother every morning with that little Bible, that TNP Bible, tried and proven. She's got it all through her Bible. Dad passed away in tremendous medical bills, and it seemed like God hadn't kept his word. While my parents had been very careful tithers and givers to God. But you know what? She took that little Bible and she said, my God will see me through. And every bill was paid and the house was saved. And she taught the word of God, and she just kept on praying, and she just kept on believing God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a way when you pray, and you'll see more when you pray more. That is, if you pray right, pray according to the word of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's not God's will for you to check out early. Have you heard me this morning? I've just obeyed the Lord. Life is worth living with God. There's so much. I have a little trouble getting it out this morning. There's just so much in my heart. But I don't want one person in this audience to leave defeated today. Even if you're a young person, I want, whatever your age may be, I want you to know that God cares about your situation. God cares about what you're facing. God cares about what you're going through. God cares. He really does. And He's going to strengthen you and bless you and help you and see you through. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. But it's not God's will. I'll never forget when the brother to the mafia in Uganda threatened my life if we came back to continue raising up that television station. I'd advise you that your life will not be safe, I was told, if you return to Uganda. I sat down and talked to Joy about that. I said, honey, what about this? She said, Bob, we've never accomplished anything by running. Never accomplished anything by quitting. We've never accomplished anything by backing off of what God called us to do. She said, you go and I'll pray and God's going to take care of it. Hallelujah. That's good advice. Don't back off of what God's called you to do. Don't quit the assignment God has given you. Amen. Don't let the turkeys get you down. Even if Thanksgiving is near. Amen. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Hallelujah. Because I can tell you after 54 years of signs, wonders, and miracles, our God is a miracle-working God. And I just want to make a proclamation in this room today. God has some people somewhere that have the money to bless this church in a supernatural way. And it's coming through. It's coming through. Money cometh. Money cometh to you. Money cometh to here. So much good seed has been sown by this church. So much good seed. We've buried people that would have been a pauper otherwise. Oh, I can't get started on stuff like that. We've helped nothings, and sometimes we've helped somethings. We've helped people that no one else would help. We've been there. Just like the call that, well, I can't preach anymore. Praise God. I wanna pray a final prayer with a come through crowd this morning. Do we have some come through? Oh, dear God. Thank you, Lord. We're coming through. Coming through on top. Coming through on top. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. I want you just to lift your hands and say, I'm more than a conqueror and I'm coming through. I'm more than a conqueror and I'm coming through. I'm more than a conqueror and I'm coming through. I'm more than a conqueror and I'm coming through. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Oh, lift your voice to Him this morning. We serve a miracle working God. For the Lord God will help us. The Lord God will help you. The Lord God will help me. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning that the power of the Spirit of God is in this room. I declare that not one weak person is going to leave here weak today. Not one troubled mind is going to leave here without being renewed by the Spirit of God. I thank you, Lord, that this is a day of turnaround. We're going to drive a stake deeper than we've ever driven it before. We're going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We're going to do what God called us to do. And we're going to do it stronger, wiser, with all of our heart, more so than ever before. Oh, praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I declare there's a supernatural strength of God that's just falling like rain across this room today. You may be a boy or a girl or a teenager, young married couple, whoever you are, just get a new grip. It's not time to be discouraged. It's not time to quit. Not time to back up. Oh, thank God, it's time. It's time to go for God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Lord, I praise you with all of my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Amen. Amen. I want to just, let me just say this. To the minister's wife who went down with the son, one of the children, son of my home pastor a number of years ago. I know people say, well, you're just old school. You know, old school's not bad. This new school's having trouble with addition, but new math, and you know, you don't have to pass anything, just pick up your report card. But I will thank God throughout eternity that I had parents that said, we go to church. We go to church. And I just can't make them do anything. Oh, if I could raise the dead, I'd raise my parents on some Sundays and say, preach, preach. They weren't preachers, but they were preachers. I went to church when I felt like it, which wasn't all the time, and I went to church when I didn't feel like it. But it was in church that I heard things that have kept me on 2 feet through hell and high water. And I looked down, and there was the pastor's son. He pastors here in the Metroplex. And I thought of our home church. We only had 22 people, 5 pastors in 4 years. Boy, we were moving right along. It was a defeated situation. And his dad came in off the evangelistic field, had pastored some of the largest churches in the U.S. and said, God called me to this church on Southside. He said, you vote on me because that's the last time you'll vote until I'm ready to leave. He said, we're going to build a strong church. We're going on the radio. We're going to have revival. We're going to put up a gospel tent. We're going to shake this part of the city for God. And there was a young boy by the name of Robert Nichols that was sometimes forced, abused, terribly abused, sitting on the front row. But I can't forget the things I heard. I just want to say to fathers and mothers, it's time to serve God like we've never served God before. Amen. I like what Tony Evans said. He said, Don't worry so much about leaving something for your children. Leave something in your children. Leave something in your children. Money comes, money goes. So big deal. But put something in them. Deposit something. And that pastor, I know you don't know who John Wayne is, this generation. But anyway, I saw my first John Wayne pastor. He rode into town, baby, and the devil rode out. And I thought, thank God for faithful parents. Thank God for a faithful pastor. Thank God for a church where I saw and heard the reality of God. Hallelujah. And that's part of what's wrong with me. Hallelujah. He did build up a good church. We did carpet the church. We did put up a tent. Then we moved down to Hemp Hill Street between two taverns. We'd catch them coming and going. We did have ministers like the famous A.A. Allen of Days Gone By and a lot of other names that I could mention. For the first time, we began to hear things we'd never heard out of preachers' mouths. Because most preachers that came through, that was their last stop before they quit. Jesus. It was about that bad. It was. Really, it was. But I just want to encourage you. You know our best is yet to come. I said our best is yet to come. Your best is yet to come. We're not going to quit on our first day. We're not going to quit on our worst day. We're not going to quit under pressure. We're going to quit only in a blaze of glory to go and be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Tell this, and then we're going to praise the Lord one more time. I was listening to a message by R.W. Shambach. He said, a lot of people have asked me, where did I get the way I used to sign my radio off? You don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. He said, I was holding a meeting under a tent up in New Jersey. The little Italian mama said, would you bring your whole staff home after service? And so he said, I didn't realize it was an hour away. We got there and said she had fried chicken and steak and everything an Italian mama, I guess, would have that I'm not even aware of. She said, now Papa's going to pray. And he said, before I pray, let me tell you about my testimony, Brother Shambach. He said, I was a wealthy man at one time. But he said, I got sick, I got ill, and we lost everything. And I was in the hospital, and they said I was dying. And they called the priest in. He came in black, and he did the last rites over me. I couldn't even talk. I couldn't respond. I could hear him, but I couldn't respond. And he said, when the priest walked out, said a man in white came into my hospital room. And he said, I am Jesus, and I've come to heal you. The man in black left, but the man in white came in. And he said, the man in white didn't take the door out. He went through the wall. But while he was there, he told that man before he healed him, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. So I just make a faith declaration. The man in black just left. And the man in white doesn't come in. And he's saying to every one of us, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. Hallelujah. You don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. Praise God. Oh, this has been a wild service, hasn't it? Amen.